Well, I thank the Lord for another opportunity to be here. Thank Him for this day, for the service that we had this morning, for the message that was shared, the burden that we heard. But I am very thankful for this opportunity. And do you ever give much thought to that, these opportunities? And I say that a lot. I know I probably say it in Wednesday evening services. But I'm thankful for these opportunities. That we can come together, sit together, sing together, pray together, and lift our voices together to God above. And that is an opportunity for us to be in His presence, you know, to be with Him, to be blessed by Him. And I know that we can be blessed and we can be in His presence in other places, but there is something special about coming together a few days a week, a couple days a week, and to know that when we come and we pray that He is lending that listening ear, that He is listening to the cry, to the song of each individual person. What's that song say? When we pray, the door to heaven will open. Now, I don't know if that is scripture. I can't recall. But I would like to think that that's true. But I do know that when we pray, He listens and He hears. And I am just thankful for this opportunity and to be here this evening. I have just a little thought on my heart this evening. I don't expect to be up here long. I don't consider this a deep and profound thought. I don't bring anything new to the table, but I would like to serve this little thought to serve as a reminder to us. I ask for your prayers this evening. I have realized that the older I get, how much more I am incapable of doing things on my own. And of course, we know that we can't do anything on our own if it wasn't for the Lord's help. But I do remember a time in my younger years, and I know compared to others, I'm still young. But there was a time when I felt like that I could take on the world, that I could do whatever needed to be done. When things were stacked up against me, if I thought about it long and hard enough, if I put forth enough effort, that there was a solution and that I could come up with that solution. I felt like I had that capability, and if nothing else, I could just bully my way through it and get it accomplished. But the older I get, the more I realize how much more help I need. I guess I'll reference to what Brother Rod was saying. I guess maybe the older we get, the more responsibility we take on, and the more mature we get, the more responsibility we get, the more that has to be accomplished. But I realize how much more help that I need. And I needed help then, but I need a lot of help now. And my thought this evening is knowing and being in touch with that one who can give us help. And of course, that is knowing and being in touch with our Lord, our God, Jesus. So I would like to speak to that just a few minutes this evening. To know and being in touch with God. To be in touch with God, I feel like we need to know who God is. And I know we all have a good general idea of who God is. But I would like to look at just a few examples. Just read a couple scriptures. Just talk a little bit about each passage. And just bring to our minds a reminder of who God is, what He did, and what He was able to accomplish. These are in no particular order. These are not of any more importance than any other example in the Bible. These are just some of the ones the Lord brought to my mind. I'd like to start in Genesis 1, and we'll start there with the first verse. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want to focus in real quick. It says, and the Spirit of God moved. All right? That's, to me, that's huge. When we say the Spirit of God moved, if we can somehow in our minds envision this world or what we know of this universe, void, dark, with nothing in it, I mean, and I know that's hard for us to take in because we as humans only know things. We know what's around us, and that's all our minds are able to probably comprehend. But if we can somehow imagine being in a nothing, all right, in a nothing, it says, and the Spirit of God moved. I'd like to point out here, if you read through the rest of this chapter and these next few, these verses, things start happening. All right? God says, let there be. And He created. He did this and He did that. He started speaking things into existence. Why? Because the Spirit of God moved. Things happen when the Spirit of God moves. And I think in my life, oh, the things that can happen in my life if I allow the Spirit of God to move within me. If I allow myself to, if I take upon myself to learn about and to know God and who He is and what He can do, and I begin to be in touch with Him and who He is, and I have that relationship, and I let Him move, things will change. Things will begin to happen. We can go from darkness to light. We can fill those voids. We can fill those voids of emptiness. Those places of darkness in our heart. And I know we're talking literal world and universe here, but I don't think it hurts to apply this to our life. It said, and the Spirit of God moved. Amen. Lord, help us to allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Talking about Moses. Big story. Won't even try to begin to cover it all. But let's think about the time when coming out of Egypt. The children of Israel. Delivering the children of Israel. They're coming out of Egypt. And you have God presenting Himself. Well, let's mention the plagues. God worked in a miraculous way, convincing Pharaoh to let the children go, exercising His power there, all these plagues. So the children leave Egypt. We have a pillar of fire in the sky, a cloud in the sky showing them the way. And here they come up and they're up against the Red Sea. And the Egyptians are right there on them. All right. And here they are. They're stacked up against the sea. They have nowhere to go. The Egyptians are coming right behind them. And they start crying. And they start complaining to Moses. And Moses, what are we going to do now? Have you brought us all the way out here to die? We would have been better left in Egypt. You know, at this point, they're up against something. And it sounds like they're almost wishing that they weren't here, that they were back in Egypt, that this would be easier to deal with if they were back in Egypt. And then God moved again. And He provided a way. And the point I would like to bring out here, we know the miracle that happened. Moses stretched forth his hands. Let's read that verse. Exodus 14 and 13. Exodus 14 and 13. So they're crying to Moses. They're complaining to Moses. And this is what Moses says. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. You're fixing to see something happen. You're fixing to see the Lord work. You're fixing to see the Lord move. You're fixing to see what the Lord is capable of doing. They had already seen some of the things the Lord was capable of doing. Maybe they forgot. All right, maybe. I'm not sure. But they were fearful. Even after they had seen some miracles of the Lord, even after the Lord had brought them to the place they were at, they still had some fear. But Moses said, fear not. You're fixing to see something else happen. Moses stretched forth his hands. God worked a miracle. The waters parted. The story goes on. They were able to cross on dry land. The Egyptians come behind them. The sea closes back in and kills the Egyptians. We can be consumed by fear. We can be consumed by our past, those things in our past. And we can come to places in life that we don't see a way out. And God can still move. God still has the power to move. God still has the power to do miracles. God still has the power to change things. Thinking about Joshua, we won't turn there. I'm thinking about the Battle of Jericho and what they were up against there and the fine, detailed instructions that God gave Joshua as he marched around that city and the walls came tumbling down. I think about, who was it? Naaman with leprosy. God, he had fine, detailed instructions of something he had to do. He didn't see the point of it, but there was some specific things that he had to do before God exercised his power. He dipped 7 times. And what I take from this is, if we will listen, if we begin to know God and we will listen to those fine, detailed instructions that he has for each and every one of us, God's going to do something special for us. Amen. He's going to help us. He's going to get us through those times. So, I hear these stories. And I've read these stories. And many times, these stories, just these few I've mentioned and many more, they have been stories to me. As I have grown older, I have seen these stories, and I read these stories, and I step back and I say, wow. That is amazing. That God did things like that. That God created something from nothing. That God parted a Red Sea. I mean, it went against every law of gravity of the universe. I mean, just blowing scientists' mind. And I mean, it would just, we can't begin to take it in. And I've seen these. I'm like, wow, God, really? He worked. But in my human nature, I tend to forget. I don't really forget, I don't guess, because I know that we serve the same God, and God is still capable of doing today what he did then. So I don't guess forget is the right word. But sometimes I don't keep it in my mind strong enough that those same things, those same concept, that same help that God gave those people, he is able to give me today. And I do feel like I forget that sometimes. I feel like as we heard this morning, as we go through the busyness of life, that I forget the power that God has. And what he is capable of doing. I was challenged. This is just not very long ago. One of our ministers that we all know very well. He was exposed to this virus. And I had gotten word, I guess, probably my wife. She was talking to his wife. And she relayed the message to me, and She's like, yeah, I was talking to this sister, and she said, my husband was exposed to this virus, and we just fell down on our faces, and we started praying to the Lord, and Lord, rebuke this virus in your name, rebuke this virus, and the Lord worked, and the Lord helped, and we just prayed hard, and man, I just kind of stepped back a little bit, and that's just not something I'm really used to. Those are words that I don't use in my prayers. I mean, to me, that's some big words. And there's nothing wrong with those words. Lord, help me. I don't use the word, I'm going to rebuke this. And I know we rebuke things, and I know we rebuke the devil, and we rebuke those things. But Lord, help me to know what kind of power you have. Lord, help me to know who you are. Help me to know how to pray. If there is things in life that you want me to pray that way, and you want me to pray hard, and you want me to rebuke these things, Lord, help me to know you. Help me to know what you're capable of doing. Help me to be reminded that you still have this power. What is wrong with, I had to take a step back when I heard that. And it's something I'm not used to. But then I got to thinking about it. What's wrong with rebuking a virus? I guess there's nothing wrong with rebuking a virus. I guess if we feel like there's something the Lord wants us to do, if there's some work that he wants me to do, is if there's something that is getting in the way of that, of me doing his work, rebuke it. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Pray to the Lord about those things. You know, I'll tell him myself. I am challenged so many times by my wife, just in our everyday life. We'll come up against something, and she'll say, Have you been praying about this? And so many times I just, not that I intentionally didn't pray about it, but so many times it just never really entered my mind to pray about that. It's like I almost feel that things are going to work themselves out. That we get in routines, and things will eventually, if we just wait long enough, that things are just going to just kind of happen. Things are only going to happen because the Lord allows them to happen. Things are only going to change when the Lord allows them to change. Lord, help me to remember to pray for those things. Help me to remember to bring those things to you so you can exercise your power, so that you can show me what you're doing in those things. Remind me that you are the one that is going to get me through those things in life. Does God still have the power to change things?
Amen.
Yes. Does God still have the power to help me overcome hindrances, fears, addictions? Does he still have the power to help me overcome confusion? Yes, he does. Lord, help me to be reminded of that. But how do I position myself to be a recipient of that? So I have to know what he can do and what he will do. But how do I put myself in a position to be a recipient of what he can do? And I thought of that verse, and I want to say it came to me before Brother Rod read it this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the things of God. Seek ye first God. Putting him first in my life above everything else. Knowing him getting in that relationship with Him, but not only having that relationship, but maintaining that relationship. Maintaining that relationship. And you could go and you could list all the, you know, the daily prayer, the daily worship, and yes, all those things are important. And that's part of it. But maintaining that relationship, knowing Him, learning who He is. And again, my mind is going to knowing Him. I thought of this example. Have you ever done something, you did something that maybe you shouldn't have done, and there's going to be a consequence for it? And what comes to my mind when I think of that is, I like to use the example of speeding. All right, you speed, and consequences is more than likely if you get caught, you're going to get a speeding ticket. And some people would do everything they can to get out of the speeding ticket and not have to pay the speeding ticket. I've done it, and I've known many people who have done it. And many times, this speeding ticket will get resolved, even though they deserved it. And you can think in your mind, well, I mean, you were doing 20 miles over the speed limit. You deserve this speeding ticket. But somehow they will find a way to get out of it. How? Because they knew someone. They knew somebody to help them out. Now, I know that's kind of the other side of the picture and the example I'm using. But did you know by knowing someone can get us out of trouble? Amen. Can get us out of the hard places, the tough places that we're facing in life? Knowing someone? I think so very often of some of our older ministers, again, on the thought of knowing someone. And I'm very cautious to mention names, but I'm going to mention a name here. I think of Brother Leslie Busby. And I think of the life he lived. And I remember I was young. And I remember seeing him get up to preach one day. And he got up in the pulpit without his Bible. And it just, I didn't really understand. And at that age, I thought, well, man, every preacher gets up with their Bible in the pulpit. And he continued and he went and he delivered a message. And I don't know what the message was about or anything, but that stuck in my mind. That he was able to get, now I don't know why he didn't bring his Bible. That's not the point. But he didn't have his Bible there. But he was able to scripture after scripture after scripture and just, I'm assuming it was a beautiful message. And I've thought about that over the years. How was a man like that, or how the ministers, how was he able to do that? How was he able all those years to contribute to a Sunday school lesson and maintain his ministry and do all these things? Because he knew someone. Because he knew someone. Because he dedicated his life to knowing God. He dedicated his life to getting to know Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to say that if we say the right thing, we say the right prayers and all those things, that we're going to be able to get up and be a spiritual giant and be this name that everybody sees. No. What I'm saying is, I'm little bitty me in a big world. And I'm trying to make heaven my home. And to get there, I'm going to have to know someone. I'm going to have to be able to get in touch with the Lord if I want to be successful on my journey. If I want the Lord to be able to work in my life, if I want to be able to get through those hard places, to be able to pick myself up when I fall, or to have the Lord pick me up when I fall, I'm going to have to know Him. I'm going to have to get into a relationship, and to be able to maintain that relationship, I'm going to have to be able to get in touch. To get in touch with God. There's a song in our book. Do you know that number? Get in touch with God. I wanted to read the words to that song. 500. Listen to the words of this song. My dearest friend is Jesus. On Him I do depend. He says He will be with me until my journey's end. He says He will be with me until my journey's end. What a comfort is that? How much of a comfort is that? To know that if we know Him, and if we are faithful to Him, that He's going to be with us through every step of the way. Another verse says, I know I've many trials. They come from every hand. I find God's grace sufficient. I know He'll make me stand. I found a precious promise which comforts me today. 'Tis the promise of the Spirit to guide me all the way. And all those things are possible because of what the Course says we have to do. Get in touch with God, my brother. Get in touch with God, I pray. Keep in touch with God, my brother, and walk this narrow way. We have a force, an enemy, I guess maybe is a better word, against us. But we have a God that is for us. We got a God that will help us, that has promised to help us. We've got a God that will be our captain. I want to encourage us this evening. Let Him be our captain. Get to know Him a little bit better. Get in touch with Him. I've often prayed. I'll reference back to a story. It's just a story that has stuck out in my mind. It was God's gracious dealings. And Brother Fred Pruitt, I was always just blown away at what that man would do with nothing. How that his gas gauge needle could be on empty and he would strike out and go across country, not knowing how he was going to get there. The prayers he would pray, the way God would move on his behalf. And there are so many more. I don't mean to single out just one. But there are so many more that have been able to move God through their faith, by the relationship they had with Him, because they knew Him. Because they knew so much about Him. And I think so many times I go through life, and again, sorry to keep referencing my personal life, but I think so many times I go through life, and I know who God is. I read the stories, but I think I forget what He can do specifically for me. What He can do, the power that He can give me to help me overcome these places in life that I struggle with. The strength that He can give me, the strength that He can give you to get through those times in life when we're tired. And again, I think so much of the time we kind of just take on the thought that It'll work itself out. Everything works itself out. Lord, help us to depend on God. To realize that we can't do anything on our own. We have no strength on our own. Lord, help me to be able to move you on your throne. Help me to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. Help me to know what you are about. Help me to be able to get in touch with you, that you can work, that you can work in my life. Help me to know that you are that friend. I was speaking to the children this morning, and the teenagers in Sunday school this morning, about that friend and how we know our friends. And I told them, I said, y'all probably know each other pretty good. You probably know each other's likes and dislikes. You might even know what this person wants to do for their career and all these things. They know each other pretty good. Lord, you've promised to be my friend. Lord, help me to know who you are. Help me to know who you really are and what you are capable of doing. Lord, help us all. I hope we leave here and find ourselves encouraged. Thank you for your prayers.